Welcome to the Social Podcast, where no discussion or debate is off limits.
We are here. It is Tuesday. You have arrived at the Social. Welcome to it. We got a lot to get to today. So Jennifer Lawrence, she's been out of the news for just a minute, but she's back because she says she knows she is getting paid less than Leonardo DiCaprio in their latest movie, Don't Look Up. Surprisingly, though, here's what she says. She's okay with it. In an interview with Vanity Fair, she said she knows Leo actually brings in more at the box office. Ladies, despite equal billing on this film, Jennifer still says it's fine. The reports say he's getting 30 mil, she's getting 25.
So not an astronomical difference.
It's only $5 million.
It's all astronomical, right? Only. It's huge numbers.
Yeah, $5 million.
The thing is that it's not equal billing. She's number one on the call sheet, right? So part of this article involved her pushing to be credited first in the credits for the film.
Yes.
But then we're talking about the money. She's getting $5 million less than Leonardo DiCaprio. And my first takeaway from this is about you can be an Oscar winner, you can be Jennifer Lawrence, an actor that comes along once in a generation, super successful, but you know, you can have a few flops for films. She had 4 bad films in a row. It took a break in about 2018, 2019, and said, by her own admission, I was sick of me, people were sick of me. And that can shake your confidence. Mm-hmm. And women, we go through this. Like, this is what's relatable.
A little imposter?
Yes. This is what's relatable about someone like Jennifer Lawrence. And I'm not sure a dude, after a couple of flops, would feel the same way. Adam Sandler.
Oh, my God. But are his flops populated by lots of people who just love Adam Sandler? Like, do they still do well at the box office and then they're just critically panned? Because doesn't that come at... No, because they're not...
Yeah, but that takes us away from the very point of number one on the call sheet, $5 million less. Name me one man, one man in the world of Hollywood who would be number one on the call sheet and would be okay with that number two is making $5 million more than them. No, the movie should be called Don't Look Up. You'll see the glass ceiling pressing down on your forehead.
But then should we be mad at the dude for that? For actually asking for what he's worth? Or should we be mad at the system?
No, I'm mad at the system and I'm mad at her for saying it's okay.
Although I don't want to let the guys off the hook. See, here's the thing. There's a lot that ticks me off about this story. But we are always focusing on the woman who has to push, who has to ask. We're asking, she has to get her agents involved. Let's fight for equality. Let's fight for what's fair. The guys are always silent, and we always know that the power structure continues to protect those with the power. Mm. I would really like to see a Leonardo DiCaprio and other leading men who know they are getting paid more than their equal co-star to say, I would like to bring attention to the fact that, yes, I'm making more, but it's not right. Put the pressure where it belongs, which is either on the agents and or the studios. I'm just sick of always the women having to fight. Where are the
That's
guys?
What I think she's doing
where are
here?
The guys?
That's what I think she's doing here, Candy. Like, I know you said, like, you know, you're mad at her for being happy with it. I don't think that she actually is happy with it. What she said is, I'm happy with my paycheck, which anybody would be happy with $25 million. She doesn't want to be in a position where she's complaining about her existing paycheck. But she lit the match in this article, you see. She's like, I'm pregnant. I'm delicate. I'm not going to go into this right now while I'm promoting this movie. I'm just going to light this match. And during junket time, press promotion time for this movie, let Leo answer this question.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
But I hope that someone in the media steps up to ask it.
Yes.
Because, right? Like, someone asked the question.
Okay, but can we talk about this in the sense that, like, it suddenly has dawned on me after how many years of doing this show that, like, we work in an industry that is not equal pay for equal work. We long have done that. There are tons of people we know who make different salaries for doing technically what the same work is. And all kinds of factors come into play with that. It might be, you know, sort of where they were coming from, legacy.
Experience,
how many years, how much does the show?
Gender
can maybe come into play. I wouldn't say that. I don't think we all make the same amount of money also. So I think that we do have to sometimes at least a little bit unpack that maybe certain industries still may never get to that. Is it fair? Probably not. Is it going to disproportionately impact women often? Probably. How much can though we fight it? I don't think until you see women and diverse women at the tippy top, is that going to change.
No, and even then it might not.
Point. This is a great point because what you're talking about is like other things are valued, like Leonardo's box office, right? Like
perceived value.
Exactly. And I think that when we're talking about perceived value, he is like 15 years older than she. So he's had 15 years to build up a career where he can have that box office track record. The problem where the system is inherently broken is women lose opportunities in Hollywood past the age of 30 to 35.
Well, yeah.
Does she get an opportunity to build up that track record so that one day she can make $5 million more than the 25-year-old actor?
Some people would say her prime is past.
That is the thing.
Listen, yeah. All the sisters here, all the sisters at home, trust me when I tell you, here's what you do. You figure out what you're worth. And then you add tax. And that's what I do. And at 53, that price is going up by the day. You can't cut yourself short. Everybody else is going to be ready too.
We have a Facebook comment here from Karen, and it's actually related to perception, Cynthia. Karen writes, it's the same situation in sports, referring to Jennifer Lawrence, say women's soccer versus men's soccer, and the revenue it generates. In a perfect world, pay equity exists. However, your pay is dependent on your perceived value, and if you aren't bringing in the dollars for the big boss, your value is less. I hear you, Karen, and your wording, your perceived value is exactly right. Because I think in general, the public perceives that men in soccer generate more revenue. As of 2019, women's soccer per game brings in more money in North America than men's soccer. And Megan Rapinoe, that's her fight. She has been bringing these facts to the soccer board and the soccer association, saying the television revenue for women's soccer in North America is higher, but we are not paid as much as men's soccer in the MLS in North America. Why? So Karen, it's interesting that you raise this point, because your perception is that men bring in more money. That's a wrong perception. I'm sorry to correct you, but why do we have that perception?
Also, that's interesting. Also interesting that she still has to have that fight. Mm-hmm. When Billie Jean King had this fight 3 decades yeah. ago in tennis, and had to play Bobby Riggs to prove that women should earn the same amount, because they do sell tickets. Mm-hmm. And once the Williams sisters came along,
yeah.
who cared what men were playing tennis? None. But still, they weren't making the same kind of
exactly
money.
Exactly right.
So.
Yeah, it's true. We got a long way to go.
We do.
All right, we are going to switch topics now, because people on Reddit are sharing things that we need to stop normalizing, like a pay gap between men and women. like coming to work sick or bragging about getting less than 6 hours sleep. What would you like to see denormalized?
Well, in this list, I couldn't help but notice the fact that that was mentioned about the filters that people are putting on their faces, on Instagram, social media, that's having an impact. I mean, I don't worry about this per se for my son right now. Like the types of filters that we use, we have a really good time with filters. Here's one night. Like, I don't think he's going to wake up one day and decide that he wants to make his
freaky.
Eyes that size.
That's the alien
but
one.
But there's, yeah. I don't know what it is, but there are lots of filters. I was walking down the street the other day and I saw a woman and I thought to myself, you look like a filter. You look like one of those nutty filters that I've seen.
What, like eyes?
Oh, she's done the eyes, she's done the lips, she's done the contouring, she's done everything. And I do think that increasingly there's a ubiquity going on, and I attribute it to filters. So yeah, stop normalizing filters. You shouldn't look like a filter. It's a filter.
Interesting. Yeah, tell that to Kylie Jenner. what I think we should stop normalizing is, some people call it the mommy wine culture or the mommy alcohol culture.
That's ugly.
And I don't know, I mean, that's not the terminology I'm using, but I do think that, at least among my group of friends, there is a shifting attitude towards alcohol and the fact that everything, it's like, you know, should end the day. Every day ends with a bottle of wine. And I think we all know once in a while, I think that that's great. I think we're understanding now that for some people and the way that we've normalized it, it is now like to the realm of self-medication. And I think that trying to unpack that. I went out to dinner the other night and I had said, you know, I bought a bottle of champagne. It was a celebratory night. And then I said to myself, please do not feel the pressure to actually drink this. It's a celebratory for me. If you choose not to drink this, the expectation is not there. And I think that there's a lot of friendships that are built on, we get together, we drink. And it's like, would you sit next to those people if you're not even having that same crutch?
Yep.
So I think it's time to start reassessing our relationship to the point of asking ourselves, am I self-medicating? And is this perhaps going into an unhealthy realm?
Yeah, totally agree.
I'd like
agree.
To see that.
I wish we'd stop normalizing rudeness, particularly with kids. I feel like parents are really getting confused between confidence and arrogance, right? A child should have humility. They should know that they are a child. And I just think all the stuff on TV is showing, oh, yeah, no, what's really cool is like really rude, really nasty, really mouthy. And you can be a rebel. I was a rebel, but I was polite. I had manners. I treated elders the way they deserve to be treated. I don't think a whole generation of arrogant people is going to be a good look.
Well, it might be a developmental stage. I say that for my daughter.
But I think that there is like a precociousness that is prized, and you can get too precocious. And I think that's what you're talking about, where like, it's like, oh, isn't that cute? No.
Yeah, that's like rude. when mom's having a conversation, the child doesn't come in and interrupt and everybody stops and looks at the child. In my house, I interrupted when adults were speaking. I got shut out.
Yeah.
And it was clear, like, when you're a grown up, you'll have the floor, but you don't have it right now. So, I just think there's a certain amount of politeness that you can teach a child. I was still a rebel rouser. I pushed the Catholic Church to let me serve Mass, but I did it politely.
My denormalization request is not very serious, although it really, really irritates me seriously. It is two words: global pandemic. People need to stop. Stop saying it.
It's redundant.
It's pandemic.
Pandemic means...
Yes. But you have the most esteemed newscasters, the most esteemed newspapers, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post. It is being printed and said on not just on like dumpy shows,
but isn't that
but
because,
on like prime
wait a minute,
time
wait a minute, wait a
important
pop
shows.
The brakes on this for a second. Isn't that because like we've had pandemics before that aren't impacting every single
country? No, it's because people don't know the definition of a pandemic. It's either epidemic or pandemic.
Oh, okay.
Or
and
pandemic. You know why people say it, and let's call ourselves out because we are TV people.
I think we've
people.
Said it. I'm
We're
sure
verbose.
We've said it.
You have.
Yeah.
And you have. You know why? Because global pandemic just sounds important.
Sexy.
You add a word Sexier. To it. It gets better. Stop it now. It's a pandemic.
A New York Times documentary is doing a deep dive into that infamous halftime show, Wardrobe Malfunction, where Janet Jackson's breast was exposed to over 140 million viewers. Remember that? Justin Timberlake was the one who tugged at her top. But it was, as we all remember, Janet Jackson who took all the heat for it. So do you think we will finally see justice for Janet?
I hope so. But I think where this pivots to is, in my opinion, is us, because I think there was a lot of discussions about Janet. There have been a lot of discussions about Justin Timberlake, but I think that we are complicit in it. I think in the States, the regulatory body for broadcasting had received a record number of complaints. And who ultimately paid the price for all of that? It actually wasn't Justin Timberlake. It was Janet. And so who did that? Who stopped buying her albums? Who continued to buy Justin Timberlake's albums? Who bought his stuff when he did the same thing with Britney in the sense of pulling her through the mud? He didn't become and continue to become bigger and more famous by himself. His popularity grew while hers declined. That's not on Justin only. That is on all of us as a public. So I think the backlash today, while, I don't believe in canceling anybody, but Justin's getting a lot of heat for both the Britney doc and now this one, I actually think that it's not a bad thing. I feel bad for him in a little way, but I don't think it's a bad thing because I think it reflects how our attitudes have changed. And I think for the better that if we're turning on him and now saying, man, they done Janet wrong, that's hopefully an awakening, I think. I think it's a turning point.
First of all, like, everybody, get over yourself. It wasn't like, oh, it was a half a second.
It was
shot
actually
of a breast with a
not
PC.
A half a second. It was 9/16 of a second.
9/16.
I didn't even know that was a unit of measurement on time. Anyway, go
and
on.
And there was a pasty over the nipple.
That's a Saturday
like
night outfit
anything.
For me. It was not a problem.
Well, Lil' Kim.
Right? It's not a problem.
Do you remember the awards show where Lil' Kim showed up and that was
yes.
a look? Look, and nobody went at her.
Prince also showed his butt on a music awards show, and everyone, like, around this time. But it's because of the rules around Super Bowl, right? They are super, they always want to be family friendly, right?
But to me, that was the Janet Jackson thing is the same as Monica Lewinsky, and I feel we all owe something.
Yes.
Because I remember as a comedian making jokes where Monica was the brunt of the joke.
Yep.
Not thinking about the fact that that was a young 20-year-old woman and the president of the United States, and I wasn't going after him. And I think we all owe both Janet and Monica Lewinsky an apology.
And Britney, because I sang Cry Me a River at the top of my lungs like I was the queen of karaoke. That's on me.
But what does, for Britney in this situation, like we're just kind of coming out of a Britney thing where there was a conservatorship and there was a goal in mind, right? Which was for her to be released free from the conservatorship. But what does, like the question is, what does justice look like for Janet, right? What can you actually get
back? Has Justin ever apologized and taken really his part? I think this was, it sounds like.
Oh, he did say something.
Okay. Oh yeah, he always.
Hold on, let me look it up on
Instagram.
Okay. Oh, it's right here. He said in a 2006 interview with MTV, it's an understatement to say that it was sort of unfair if you consider if it was 50-50. I probably got 10% of the blame, he said. And that says something about society. I think that America's harsher on women, and I think that America's unfairly harsh on ethnic people.
Okay.
He said that in 2006.
I didn't hear a story. I didn't hear an apology.
It was sort of unfair.
I'm sorry, but like your question was, did he say sorry? I didn't hear a sorry.
But he did. Okay, fine. He didn't apologize directly, but I do think that that's a fair statement. And I agree. I don't think you can put this all on Justin. I think this has to do with like conservative viewpoints. I think this has to do with the times, has to do with racism, has to do with sexism. All that is baked into this experience. And Janet's okay. Like, I think she's, I mean, I don't know how she is like personally, but I think financially she's okay. So I feel like this is something people are trying to just dig up, and I'm not sure exactly why. I want to hear from Janet.
When you are an artist, I don't think just because you have money, you're okay. If you are not plying your art and you're being prevented from that because of the way people are reacting, I think you're
but
not
But is she
okay.
now being... I don't know that that's a fact. Like, she was on tour. You guys went to see her concert.
We saw her in Vegas. Sold out.
The thing is, at the time, she had a new album. It tanked. She wasn't given an opportunity to make a second album or at least promote it in the way that her previous albums have been promoted. So if you're... To Candy's point, if you're talking about an artist at the height of their career and this happens, you can't get those years back, you can't get those moments back, you can't get
that's
the
right.
momentum back. So, I mean, that's what does justice look like? Again, if you can't roll back the clock, what does justice look like? And I think that's what some people are saying. Maybe justice looks like a conversation that can be had around all of these issues. Why the beneficiary of these broken systems, a Justin Timberlake, was allowed to thrive off the shoulders of two women without really participating in a conversation about how we can change. The problem with Justin, I agree with you, he was so young then.
Yeah.
He was just starting a solo career. If I'm to be generous towards Justin Timberlake, which is not in my DNA, I can say back then, I get it, he would have been scared. CBS was all over him. Network executives were all over him. He was just starting his solo career. But as he accumulated power and access, did he do anything with that power and access to engage in the kind of conversation like we're having now? Mm. What he's doing is selling his house in LA. He lives full time in Montana right now. He knows that the culture doesn't welcome him. And instead of going in and being like, let's talk about this. I know I'm complicated. I want to be part of this conversation.
But then other people are saying, no, but he tried to do the same thing when people were crying black appropriation with his music.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people were saying, you are basically ripping off Michael Jackson and profiting off of it and not saying, thank you, Michael Jackson. And so the question then becomes, when he did try to speak up on the race issues, he was basically told to shut up and sit down. This is not the time or the place for you, a privileged white man, to be speaking up. So I think he was stuck between a rock and a hard. I don't feel sorry for him, just for the record. He's swimming in his millions. But I do believe that the Montana thing is interesting. It is not a good time to be a Justin Timberlake today. And I think, again, overall, I think for the society at large, I don't know that that's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a bad thing right now.
I don't think that the change happens unless you dig in and engage with your criticism and engage with what was wrong. I mean, listen, is he going to be canceled? No. He's fine on his ranch in Montana. Everybody's okay. But you know what? Interesting to me would be if Justin were to sit down with, say, Oprah and be like, yeah, I know people have a lot of things to say about me, but I just at least want to face it rather than cutting and running.
Interesting. Yeah, I still think, though, that some people would say, who asked to hear from you? Is this your conversation to
we
lead?
Are. I think the fact of the matter is that when a documentary like this comes out,
I don't know,
and people are like, Justin Timberlake, let's call him out, they're asking to hear from him.
Yes.
One of the reasons why people have been so frustrated with him is because he's never come to this, like, the table.
Okay, we don't know what's happening behind the scenes. So Janet Jackson posted on Instagram something to the effect of, like, basically, we're not here to tear people down anymore. We're here to uplift people. It's cryptic. We don't know exactly what it means. It's been out since her documentary was released. So people are like, oh, is this her way of saying, everybody relax, stop coming for Justin? He liked the post. So we don't know what that means. Is he having conversations with Janet behind the scenes? Are they cool? Like, there's a lot of stuff that we don't know. And again, I don't know that I want to hear from Justin personally. I don't know that this is his convo to lead. He's not the guy I want to hear from, to be honest. That's just me.
But part of allyship is that he should be going to Black advisors and getting some education around this. I think about when Dave Chappelle walked away from his show and he went to see Maya Angelou. And he got some guidance from her. And I think that's it's time now for Justin to do a mea culpa, to get some guidance. Don't make a big public thing out of it necessarily, but start the learning process. White men, you got to stand up. I don't know how else to put it.
Subscribe to The Social Podcast so you don't miss a fiery debate. Until next time, socialites.